We are the waiting ones, longing for the day to come when we are no longer waiting on the one who can save us from ourselves. Waiting with bated breath for hope to reach out its hand from heaven and heal our helpless hearts. Waiting for a light to spark, a light to dawn, a light to diffuse the dark we've drawn like curtains over our souls. Waiting for the promise to unfold like a map leading us to the treasure of treasures so we can behold and believe. Waiting for peace to supersede our anxieties and flow like a river through a dry and weary land where there is no water. Waiting for the Father to see fit to find us in our pit, pining in our sin, the spiritual slum we lived in. But when the fullness of time had come, he sent forth his only Son, incarnate one, the manifestation of God in the flesh, the epitome of a promise kept. He left heaven's majesty so we no longer have to be waiting. The birth of a baby, a king, come to redeem the world he created. God, born in a borrowed stable, the light of man in a makeshift cradle. This is not a fable. The one whom we have waited for is here. Peer into the manger and behold him who welcomes the stranger and breaks the chains of every captive. Our Maker, our Savior, our Master is here, casting our fear into the ocean of his love. Emmanuel, God with us. Go shout it on the mountain, 'cause our waiting is done.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It's a great night to celebrate Jesus, amen. And to celebrate the coming of the light of God to come and bring us light and to bring us revelation and to give us life. And that's what we do on Christmas Eve. We celebrate the life of God. We celebrate the fact that God had mercy on us and sent his Son into a dark world to give us salvation, to give us eternal life. You know, the prophet Isaiah prophesied many, many years ago. He said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And so he prophesied what we are celebrating here tonight, that God would have mercy and send a bright light into a dark world, which is our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot to do when we celebrate the birth of Christ, which we do at Christmas time. Of course, light is a big part of our celebration. And we drive through the city, we see the people light up their houses and light up trees and put out displays in their front yard, and there's a lot of light. And tonight we lit candles and we stood and we see how the light can actually overcome the darkness. And in the night that Jesus was born, there was quite a light show. There was quite a display that I think probably pales anything in comparison to it. We know that the shepherds were out in the field. And we know that all of a sudden they had an incredible light display when an angelic host burst on the scene. And they heard a message from the angel. And the angel basically appeared to them and told them about the birth of a Savior, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these shepherds made their way to Bethlehem, just as you saw depicted here tonight, made their way to Bethlehem to worship the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And not only that, then the Magi were some astrologers, and they saw a bright star, and they followed that star, and as they followed that star led them to Bethlehem, and they saw the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Matthew says this about them: they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And they found the Christ child and worshiped him. And so tonight, we can be overjoyed. Amen? Our hearts are filled with joy at God's mercy and his grace to us. John 12:26, 46, sorry, Jesus said this. He said, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. We know that we live in a dark world. Amen. We live in a dark world, and there's darkness not only in our world, but unfortunately, there's darkness in the hearts of men. But Jesus came to shine a light in those dark places in our own personal lives and in this world as well. And people who live in darkness are delighted to see the light. And so I read an article the other day, it's a true story actually, about a Christmas program, and which we had here a few days ago. We had a Christmas program here, and we like Christmas programs, amen? And so this little boy had a part in the Christmas program, and his mother was worried that her little son would forget his lines. And so she made sure she positioned herself on the front row of the church. And sure enough, as the play went on and it came time for her son to deliver his line, he froze. He forgot, just like his mother was afraid that he would. And so she then tried mouthing the words to him without making any sound. She just kind of mouthed these words. I am the light of the world. I don't know if you got that or not, but that little boy did not get that. He didn't get it. And so he still stood there with a blank look on his face. And so finally, his mother leaned forward and whispered, and she said, I am the light of the world. And all of a sudden, the boy's little face just lit up. And he said this, my mother says she's the light of the world. So it wasn't quite what she had in mind. Anyhow, Jesus is the light of the world. In John's gospel in chapter 1, it goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus. He was there in the beginning. He is God. He was with God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Jesus is the creator of the world. He's your creator. He's my creator. He said, apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 9, there was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. You know, when God made man, he made him in his image, and he made him unique. And we still, but unfortunately, as we know, many of us know, man fell. Adam fell in the garden. He disobeyed God. He was created to obey God. And if he would obeyed God, he would have been filled with light. When he was created, he was full of light. But of course, when he disobeyed, that light in him went out. But even to this day, mankind, human beings, still reflect some of that light. And we see that in terms of three things. We have an intelligence. Mankind has an intelligence which you don't see in any other part of the creation. Man also has a morality. He has a moral sensitivity where he knows what is right and what is wrong. We have a conscience. And mankind still has a spirituality. We are still hunger for spiritual things. Every human being. It doesn't matter who they are or where they live or what their ethnicity they have. Every human being has a desire to worship. And we do worship. Every human being worships, whether they realize it or not. We worship something. And of course, we know there are many religions in the world. We know there are many different gods in the world. And man wants to worship those gods. And we can say, well, you know, I don't believe in any god. I don't worship anything. Well, in this world, in North America and Canada, one of the biggest gods in our Canadian country is materialism. We worship materialism. We worship money. We worship career. We can worship anything, and we do worship. And so when a man says, I'm not a worshiper of anything, he can even worship himself. We want to be God. And so we are by instinct intelligent. We have a moral mind, and we are worshipers. But the problem is we have intelligence without faith. And we have a moral sensitivity without truth. And we have a spirituality without life. Because when man disobeyed God, something died in us. And we lost that light. And instead of life, we have deadness. And instead of light, we have darkness. And so God in his mercy and his grace came into this world as a light shining in darkness. And it says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or the darkness could not overpower the light. Light is more powerful than darkness. I remember as a young man, I think I was about 20 years old, I worked in a mine. I worked underground. And I worked over 3,000 feet below the surface of the earth. Can I tell you, when you're down in underground, it is dark down there. And the only in my workplace, the only light that I had was the light that was on my hard hat. And so one day I thought, you know, I was just kind of taking a break from work. And I was by myself on this particular day. And I thought, I wonder what it'll be like if I shut my light off. And so I turned my light off. Can I tell you something? There was something terrifying about that darkness. It was a darkness that I had never seen before or never known before. On the darkest night, there is light. We see light. But when you're under the ground, thousands of feet, there is no light. And when I shut my light off, that darkness was like it wanted to smother me. It's like I can hardly find words to describe it. It was smothering. It was terrifying. It was oppressive on a whole different way. Let me tell you something. I didn't have my light off very long. I turned my light back on. And to my relief, when I made the switch, click, it did turn on. But you know, ever since then, when I hear of miners trapped under the ground or somebody trapped in a cave, it just makes my blood run cold. Because I know what that kind of darkness is like. And when you're in that darkness, you have this sensation in your eyes, a pain. It's painful to your eyes. Say, well, why would it be painful? Because your eyes are straining to see light, any light, and there is no light there. And so it's a horrific experience. But you know, when you turn the light on, that light dispels that darkness. And so in the same way, God has said that he has a light. He has come as a light to the world. He's come as a light to men. He has come as a light to a dark world and to the darkness in us to bring us light, to turn the lights on. That's what this whole season is all about. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, the prophet said. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that's what we're celebrating tonight. Amen? And so, you know, it's interesting. Children, when they go to sleep at night, they want a night light on. What are your kids like? Do they want lights? How about you when you were a kid? Did you like to have a light on in your room or the door open a little bit of a crack or some kind of light somewhere? How many want a little bit of light when they went to sleep as a child? Come on. Why? We don't like the darkness. Children instinctively don't want to be in a dark room. They want to have some light. I saw a picture of my great-grandson, Kyrie, today, actually. And Tamika's mom sent a picture of him. And he was in his room, and he had a little Christmas tree in the corner, and he had some lights flashing on the ceiling, and he was sound asleep. But why do children want to have light? Why do they want to have some crack in the door or something? Because they trust the light. They feel safe when there's some light. But when you're in the darkness, you don't feel safe. When you're in the darkness, you're afraid. You have fear. And so that's why so many people are afraid of the dark. That's why children are afraid of the dark. And unfortunately, many adults are also afraid of the dark. But God has come to turn on the lights. Amen? To turn on the lights in this world and to turn on the lights in you. And so in verse 9 it says, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. You know, it's interesting, I don't know about you, but when I think of the wise men following the star, they saw a star in the sky and they followed it. But next thought that goes through my mind is, how many other people saw the star and did not follow it? Because I believe that wasn't just the wise men that saw that star in the sky. I believe there were others who did not follow that light, but the wise man did. I believe it's the same today. That the light, the Bible says the light shines on every man. That every person, no person can stand before God one day and say, you know what, the light came, but the light didn't shine on me. That's not true. The light shines on every man, but not every person will respond to that light. Not every person will follow that light. And so some people incredibly actually choose darkness rather than light. He said he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. I think that's one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible, where the light came and man chose darkness over the light. And so he came to his own people that they would accept him, and they did not accept him. But the good news is this. In verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. They were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh. In other words, we can't save ourselves. We can't turn the lights on by ourselves. We have to receive the one who is light. We have to receive the one who brings light to the dark places of our lives. And so we can respond to the light. How do we do it? Well, John 8:12 says this. I am the light of the world. This is what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that good news? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does it mean to follow him? You see, if you follow him, you have him. You have the light of life. He says, whoever believes in me will have that light. If I follow him, Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is my sacrifice. Jesus is my living water. Jesus is my bread of life. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my light, if I choose to follow him. And so you will have the light of life. And of course, there are many of us here tonight where the light is shining in your life. And we're here tonight to celebrate the fact that we have life, we have light, God gave us grace, God gave us mercy, and we received him. So, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You know, sometimes people think, well, I have to work hard to receive the light. I have to work hard to get out of darkness. I have to work hard to change my life. And that's not true. Jesus came to give us his life, and what we need to do is just receive him. Like you receive a gift. I'm sure that many of us, if not all of us here tonight, whether tonight or tomorrow, will receive gifts, and you will open gifts. And it's a tradition that we have around Christmas time, but it's really a tradition that's based on the fact that God gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us eternal life. He gave us his son. If you have the son, you have the life. And when we say you have the life, you have eternal life. That you will never die. That you will live forever. Your body will die, but you will get a new body. And you will rise to newness of life. And so that's what we celebrate tonight. And it's to receive it is simple. We simply receive it. Just like you, if somebody wants to give you something, you just have to take it and to possess it. And that's what God is saying to you and I tonight. There may be some of you here tonight that you've not yet done that. You've not yet received Jesus as your personal Savior and your Lord. But Jesus wants to come and light up your darkness. Jesus wants to come into your life and give you a new life. to forgive you of your sins, to give you his righteousness, to declare you his son, to declare or daughter, to declare you as free. That's why Jesus came. That's what we're celebrating tonight. And that light shines bright. And that light can overcome darkness in this world. And that light can overcome darkness in your life and my life. And so why don't we stand tonight? And I'm just going to pray and give you an opportunity to receive that gift tonight. And so if you're here tonight and you want that gift, then just pray with me tonight. In fact, I'd like us to pray out loud tonight. I want you to all pray with me. And if you're here and this is the first time that you ever prayed a prayer like this, know this for certain, that if you ask Jesus to come into your life, if you say to Jesus, shine your light in my life, come into my life, make me a new person, he will do so. Because Jesus died on a cross for your sins. And when he died on that cross, he took your judgment. He paid your price. He is your substitute. He is your sacrifice. Your name is there, but you have to receive it. You say, what do I do to actually make that a reality in my own life? I need to receive it. And one of the ways of receiving it is just through prayer, which is what we're going to do tonight. So say, hey, I want Jesus in my life. I want the darkness overcome in my life. I want that light to shine in me. I want that eternal life. You can have it tonight free, a free gift. And so as we pray, just open up your heart to the Lord tonight and ask Jesus to come into your life and shine that light in your life. And you know what? He will. He will come. And there are many of us here tonight, that's exactly what happened to us. And it happened. And so let's pray together. Father, pray with me. Father, I come to you tonight, and I confess that I'm a sinner, and that I need life. I need new life. So Jesus, you are the light of the world. You are God's gift to us. And so Jesus, I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I ask you to come into my life and give me new life and give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, I receive you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time tonight, then know for certainty that Jesus is in your heart tonight, and you're walking out of here with a lightness in your soul that you never knew of before, and you will see that light shining brighter and brighter as each day comes. Amen.